Just while Ryan was sharing, I got that picture of, you know, that famous statue in Rio, I think it is, of Jesus with his arms like this. And I think that's the picture that Jesus wants us to have of him this morning, of a God with his arms wide open. And his arms are wide open because his heart is wide open. And it's a tragedy that the reason why God's family isn't 10 times bigger than it is not because God's heart is not wide open, but because Jesus says things like, "All day long I held out my arms to you and you wouldn't come." But from God's side, his heart is wide open towards us and to the world. And what's really a burden on my heart this morning is that God wants us as his church to reflect the same attitude. You hear what I'm saying? God's heart and his arms are wide open to the world. But the challenge to us this morning is our hearts and our arms wide open to receive people into our lives, into our hearts. And so I'm speaking about hospitality, but I'm speaking about specifically open hearts and open homes. Bringing people into our homes for dinner or to stay or to give somebody a place to stay, literally maybe, is an overflow of an open heart. If your heart is closed, your home will be closed. Does that make sense? And so one of the things that we've really have as a value in our church as Joshua Generation is this thing of homes, and homes being where the life of God is revealed and the kingdom of God happens and is demonstrated in our homes. That has always been a value of Josh Gen. But when I say that, you might think, well, jeepers, like 3 sermons on hospitality. My goodness, that's a lot of attention to one topic. And that's because it might be a value that we have as a church, but is it something we value? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's very easy when you're in a church that's a couple of thousand people strong across all the neighborhoods of Cape Town and even beyond South Africa to think of church and the kingdom as something other than the life of God being demonstrated in our homes. Do you understand what I'm saying? It can become a system. It can become something so big that I feel like, what part do I have to play in this? What can I possibly contribute? Well, the answer is simple. Your heart and your home being open. If we forget that actually at the really simple level, the kingdom of God comes through us, through our homes. Does that make sense? So the value in, if you think church is, if when you think church, what's associated with that in your mind is a big venue with thousands of people, you've missed the heart of the kingdom. And the word, you should be thinking, in my home, around my table, the presence of God, life being lived, the kingdom being demonstrated. It's spreading, Sandy Siwe. It's spreading, that anointing. Actually, as a church, we have a reputation for being a very warm, welcoming, hospitable people. Around the world, we have that reputation. The challenge for us this morning is, you know, the church in Sardis also had a reputation. Jesus said, you have a reputation for being alive, but you're actually dead. The challenge to us is, we have a reputation for that, but that doesn't mean that it will always stay something we cherish. And so I feel an urging of the Holy Spirit this morning is to say, this is something that we cherish. This is something that's very precious to us. Don't lose that warm-heartedness that God himself has, that he wants us as a people to imitate. There's just maybe you can put that scripture up. Can we put up scriptures? It's looking very dark up there. 1 Peter 4, verse 8 and 9. This is right towards the end of Peter's letter to the churches. And he says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Can you see there that there's a connection between an open heart and an open home? Love each other deeply. And then he speaks about offering hospitality. If our hearts are open, then we open up our homes as well. And we do that in lots of different ways. And so when I speak about an open heart, what I'm saying is a disposition, an attitude of my heart to include people into my life. That's quite simply what I mean. And that is God's heart, because he included us in his life when we were strangers. And there's an interesting parallel between this and Leviticus. You can put that one up, Leviticus 19, verse 34. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of commands and instructions about hospitality. And there's this very interesting comparison here. It says, you shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you, so that's people traveling through the nation of Israel, as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. Why? Because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So God is saying, you know what it's like to be far from home. You know what it's like to be orphaned and to be actually taken advantage of and oppressed because you are far from home, because you don't have a place to belong. And so the key for us keeping our hearts open is to remember the time when we ourselves were exiled, when we ourselves were strangers, when we ourselves didn't have family with God. We weren't reconciled with God and we weren't in a spiritual home. The Bible speaks of us as being orphans in need of a home before we come into the kingdom, before we come into the family of God. And so God received us into his household and he adopted us, the Bible says. And the Bible says, when you forget that is how you were, you will also close your heart towards those who don't yet know Christ. I was swapping stories with Carl. Are you here this morning, Carl? On Wednesday, this week, Wednesday. And I was showing him, oh, there you are. I was showing him a picture of my two passport photos. One was of before I accepted Christ and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the other one was after. I don't show a lot of people that photo because I had not only very dark eyes, but a very bad hairstyle at the time. So if you are a very close friend, I might allow you to see the before and after pictures. Same is true of Carl, by the way. But that stays between the two of us. But what we noticed, because I showed him my before and after picture, and he showed me his before and after picture. And it was incredible to look at our eyes. The light that came into the eyes. Dark, sad, sorrowful, lonely eyes. And if you look at us both now, we don't really strike you as those kind of people. We are both quite happy sort of people. But there's this darkness and loneliness and emptiness. You know, the eyes tell you so much about a person. When you look into someone's eyes, you can see oftentimes the life of God in a person. And I was just reminded of the fact that that is who I was. That is who we were. And we can take that light for granted. We can become over familiar with that light and we can forget that there are others around us, sometimes family, sometimes friends, sometimes even people in this congregation who are looking for that light, who are looking for a family. And God's encouragement to us this morning is keep your heart open, keep your home open, because you were once a stranger too, and God wants to bring people into family. And so the thing that can cause us to keep our hearts and our homes closed is sometimes the desire to preserve, to protect. Self-preservation can kick in. And what do I mean by that? Well, when it's tiring keeping your heart open and keeping that attitude of bringing people into my life. Because there can be, you know, you can develop a nice circle of friends. You can start to feel comfortable and familiar with the people that you know. And then there's almost a little bit of a protective instinct to want to preserve the comfort and the family and the love that I experience. It happens. It happens to all of us. And God's challenge to us this morning is, imagine if Jesus did that. Imagine if Jesus said, I've got a family and it's big enough and we've got a good thing going here. And that's enough. Let's cap it there. Can you imagine what that would have meant for us? If the family was full, none of us would be included and we wouldn't have been redeemed. And the picture of Jesus on the cross is the absolute antidote to any self-preservation that might come into us. Jesus' arms held wide open, and they are still wide open to say, all who are thirsty, come. That is still his attitude. He is still wanting to include as many people as possible into his family. Until the last possible moment, his heart is to include. And so any attitude in my heart, because these are the kinds of things that we will want to preserve. We will want to preserve our time. For example, we're busy. Our lives get busy, sometimes with good things, sometimes with bad things, but they get filled, however the case is. And our hearts can get too full, and our time can get so full that we will actually become protective of our time, and that can prevent us from drawing people into our lives. We can get protective over our space as well. Even your personal space, your home space, can become a sanctuary where it's the place where I recharge. It's the place where I have peace and a place where I'm able to recharge my batteries. And it's good to rest in all of those things. But if our homes become a castle which is not longer open and warm to allow other people to come in and to experience the life of God, then that self-preservation has become a barrier to what God may want to do through us. Even things like money and food and petrol, they sound like small things, but they can become very big things. And those can become barriers to including people in our lives. And so I was reminded of this story, actually, again from Wednesday. In fact, John is here this morning. I chatted with him earlier. How's this story? They were having community, and they were worshiping. And they worship loud in that community. I was nervous for the neighbors. But when you hear the story, you think maybe you should worship a bit louder. And so John, who's here, he heard them worshiping in community the first week. And the second week, he decided rather than just be annoyed with them, he'll just go and join them, which he did. Neighbor came, John came and knocked on the door, and he joined them for community. And he's a part of that community, and then he's here with us this morning. And God did a miracle in his life last week. He got miraculously healed of something as well. And there's this picture of God wanting through our homes for the life of God to be expressed, for people to come in and to experience the kingdom of God. Amen. That is something that God wants to do through us. And so I want to challenge you this morning. When it comes to your neighbors, when it comes to those who live around you, when it comes to your friends, when it comes to those people who you gym with or your colleagues, when last did you think of or allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into inviting someone to come into your home, have a meal with you, whether it be a braai or just something simple, to include people into your home and into your life and experience the life of God with you? But this scripture that we read, you can put it up again, 1 Peter 4, verse 9 and 10. It says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's quite an interesting passage. And there's a parallel with it when Jesus himself said, when I was a stranger, you invited me in. You know that passage? When he spoke to the sheep and the goats, he says, when I was a stranger, you welcomed me in. There's actually a bit of a background to that story. Most of those passages are actually talking about persecution. Persecution of the saints. And so this very book in 1 Peter was addressed to the exiles, those who had been scattered throughout the provinces. And so what would happen is that Christians would be running away from persecution, and guess where they would stay? With other Christians. They'd come into your town, and they'd literally be running for their lives, and they would stay with Christians. And that is often the context of these passages. And so when he's saying, offer hospitality out of love without grumbling, you can imagine there's a story here. If a Christian comes and he comes to stay in your house because of persecution, it's probably not for a few nights. He literally needs to get a new job. He needs to establish his family before he can start buying and renting houses. He's literally got to reestablish his whole life. So it could be quite a long-term stay. And you can see Peter speaking to this context and saying, remember, we're doing this because of love. Don't grumble. And we know that also what would happen is people would go from city to city preaching the gospel. Like Jesus said, remember he said in Matthew chapter 10, he says, whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. Remember that passage? And so people were doing that. They were literally going from city to city, town to town, and preaching the gospel. And guess where they would stay? At their brothers and sisters' houses. And there's this very interesting document, a historical document, talking about people who were abusing this. People who were going around preaching the gospel and staying for free at Christians' houses and actually abusing. And then it would say, it would give guidelines for people who are actually abusing this and when you should actually tell them to move on, which is quite an interesting document which you can read about. But it gives you an insight into the early church and why Peter and Jesus and others would speak about hospitality, because there was this culture of having people and Christians in your home. And the reality is, if we can't show hospitality and warmth in our hearts towards our brothers, it's very unlikely we're going to do it with the lost. And so it starts with us. It starts with being hospitable with one another. There will be times when, even amongst us, and this has happened and does happen and is happening, where brothers and sisters even need a place to stay. And God's challenge to you would be, would you love them as you love Christ? And love them deeply and receive them into your home. Sometimes it can be small things, like even having community in your home. Sometimes it can be giving a person a place to stay for a night. And so the challenge to us believers this morning is, how open is your heart and your home to believers, people in this room, to receive them and to include them into your life and into your home? But what's also happened now through us as Josh Jen is that there is a family that's actually international, and it's called 412. There are churches all over the world which are partnering with us in the gospel, and very often they come to Cape Town to be equipped and to receive a deposit of the Holy Spirit and be re-envisioned for their own towns and their own cities, to go back and to bring the gospel and the kingdom and healthy church. And they sometimes and often do come to Cape Town to be equipped in this. And guess where they stay? In our homes. And so there's this opportunity as well, not only to show love and hospitality towards our brothers in this room, but we've actually got family that crosses the whole world. But the good news is that that ticket goes both ways. And so oftentimes when we go into other cities to be used by God and to partner with other churches, they receive us into their homes. And there's this incredible picture of the kingdom of God when you see that it's not just in Cape Town that God's family exists. I often worry and get concerned for introverts what's going to happen on that day when God brings all the nations of the world together to worship Jesus. We say a little prayer for the introverts on those days. But the reality is that there is this family that extends across the world. And there's something of the bigness of God that gets demonstrated when these partnerships all around the world come together and we celebrate God together and we worship Him together. And I wanted to just say a word about 412. It's interesting when you chat to people about their perceptions of what it actually is and what it actually isn't. And I want to just maybe just challenge, but also just bring a little bit of God's perspective when it comes to 412. Because if you think in your mind, when you hear the word, there's associations in your mind when you hear the word 412, you think conferences, you think big name preachers like Jonathan Stanfield and Will Murray and whoever else, or you think big venues with thousands of people. I want to say, if that is your association with what 412 is, there's a problem. Because that is a very small part of what 412 is. It's only a very small part. When you think of 412, think of not just massive conferences. Think of friendships and family all over the world. Friends and family all over the world. When you think of 412, don't just think of big name preachers. Think of people who you've met living in other nations that inspire you. When you see their faith lived out in other nations and you think, that is incredible. That is so inspiring. I want to live out my faith like that. When you think of 412, don't just think of massive venues with thousands of people. Think of the homes of the people you've stayed with in other nations. I have pictures, even if I think of people that I've stayed with in Isle of Man, people that I've stayed with in all different nations, those dinner time chats, the times that I've had of prayer and prophecy. And I think of the times when we've had people in our own home. The one very vivid memory that I'll share with you was there was these two guys from Australia, and the one guy was about 60 or 70, and he just loved Namile. Like, you know when somebody will just do anything to get a smile on your child's face? This guy was like that. Eventually, at one point, he was flapping like an eagle like this around our lounge. And I actually whipped out my camera and I filmed it just before. A 60 to 70-year-old man was flapping and making eagle noises. I kid you not. Screeching like an eagle. And Namile was just losing her mind, obviously. So that kid just spurred him on, and he just kept doing it over and over. Eventually, we got together at the venue at the lighthouse, and in front, like he was doing the eagle, like in the venue, in the lighthouse. So when I think of 412, I think of these relationships that I have with people, these inspiring people, people that I've spent time with, and I want to challenge you. That is the heart of what 412 is all about. It's not about this very abstract concept of a network of churches, but like whatever that means. That's not what it's about. It's about friends and family all around the world who inspire us, and we equip them and we inspire them, and they do the same with us. And when they come to Cape Town, I hope that our hearts are open to them. I hope that our hearts, and the Holy Spirit is also challenging you this morning. I hope that your heart is to include them into your life, into your home, into your family, from all around the world. What I've asked Zandi to do, and Zandi had such a hit of a sermon last week, I've asked her to just share for 5 minutes some of the things that sometimes women experience when they have people in their home. I could have shared it, but it's just not going to come. It's not going to be the same coming from me. So where are you, Zandi? Don't you want to just share? She's just going to share very briefly just some of the things that women experience, some of the fears and things that women can experience, and men.
Okay, like Luke said, self-preservation sometimes kick in, and sometimes that can manifest itself in being a perfectionist and pride, in fact, wanting everything to be perfect in your home, like over-tidiness. But the truth of the matter is, if your heart is open, it doesn't matter actually how your home looks. And another way that this can manifest is shame or being embarrassed about, oh, my space is so tiny, or I don't cook gourmet food. But the truth of the matter is, if your heart is open and this is what God has given you, and you open that up and you share it, people won't be thinking about, oh my goodness, that meal was so terrible, but they're going to be thinking, oh, what a warm heart, what a warm experience, what a warm meal. And another thing is fear, allowing people in your space and your fear about your safety or your fear about your possessions and stuff like that. What if kids break our stuff? But God is our provider, and he's given you that, so you just need to trust him and trust for his protection, but also trust for his provision. And then the last thing, it's a bad past experience, or maybe like where you've experienced awkwardness, and like Luke was reading that scripture, it's about showing love and extending grace, even if things are awkward. And I just want to share from my experience last year when Namile was an infant, and it was like you just wanted to get into survival mode, but like God challenged me through Romans 12, where it talks about seeking to show hospitality. And like I remember at the beginning of the year, Luke and I had a conversation about like we need to have open hearts and open our homes and not be self-preserving. And like last year when Namile was an infant, that's when we like if I think about the number of people we hosted people from Brazil. This is throughout the year when Namile was like tiny, she had reflux issues. She would take sometimes 2 to 3 hours just to feed, and she'd be screaming, and God is like, open your heart and open your home. And it's uncomfortable, but just like Luke shared, just the blessing of it, we hosted people from Brazil, we hosted people from PE, from Oxygen. We had, like when I was on maternity leave, I had girls over, and we had amazing time sharing and in the midst of all that chaos. And it was like, it was very significant for me and for those people. So I just want to encourage us, especially us as ladies, even if you feel like you don't have capacity, God gives you the grace. And God gave me the grace. And it was just like totally amazing. I'm in touch with like people from Oxygen and people from all over the world, like Luke said, friends and family. So it's just to encourage us, let's keep open hearts, open homes.
Yeah, I think the temptation, especially in Cape Town, is to think of to have an attitude of entertaining people. We are not called by God to entertain people in our homes. Because if you think entertainment and some of the entertainment shows, with cooking and all of those things, especially in Cape Town, the bar is so high. It's like the thought of entertaining people in my home is very scary. God's called us to receive people into our hearts and into our homes and to be family to them. And so there's that balance between giving what you have and honoring and sometimes sacrificing, but not with an attitude or an expectation to entertain people and to live up to an unrealistic expectation. So I just want to close by saying that that our homes are actually a huge kingdom vehicle. They're a huge kingdom vehicle. We don't often think of our homes like that, but they're a kingdom vehicle in which God brings his kingdom onto this earth, demonstrates his love and his kindness through our being warm and sacrificial and servant-heartedness. And he actually brings people into an experience of family and what his own heart is like. And so there will be many opportunities. And not only, let me just detail it for you. When we talk about hosting, we're talking about sometimes our neighbors, hospitality towards our neighbors. Sometimes it's brothers from other nations. Maybe it's a needy brother or sister in this church family. Could be a visitor that comes to church on a Sunday morning that you welcome into your home after the meeting and show them family and get to know them. It could be having home group in your house. It could be just having your friends around. So I'm giving a very broad definition of all the ways that hospitality and hosting can look. It's not necessarily just one narrow definition of that. So I want to just leave you with this encouragement this morning. Would you open up your heart? Would you have the same heart as Christ and have a picture in your mind of Christ with his arms open, because his heart is open to receive people into our homes and into our lives? Can we do that?